More Idaho Matters right now. Last April, we told you about a project in the Boise foothills to change some trails into bike paths and then others into one-way walking trails. Well, in the Military Reserve Park, one trail was split with one path for downhill biking, and then the other is now a walking trail. An assistant professor at Boise State and her students decided to plant 500 sagebrush and bitterbrush seedlings along those two trails. This is part of an experiment to find the best ways to restore native species. Joining us today are Megan Cattu, who teaches human environment systems, and Martha Brabeck, a foothills restoration specialist for the city of Boise. Thank you both for coming on the program.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you so much, Gemma.
So Martha, can we start with you and can we talk about these two trails that I just mentioned? Where are they? And one of them is now just a downhill bicycling trail, correct?
That's absolutely correct. Bucktail used to be both ways. So pedestrians as well as bikers and equestrians could utilize that trail. However, like you said, in 2021, with the Ridge Rivers Partnership developed some management strategies to help alleviate some of the high pressure on the trail system. And so now Bucktail Trail is only downhill biking, and Two Point, which was constructed in 2021, is pedestrian and equestrian only. Hmm.
And then, Megan, I'm curious about what gave you the idea for this planting project along those two trails.
Yeah, absolutely. So when I moved to Boise to start this faculty position, I reached out to Martha because I had heard about her restoration efforts in the city of Boise's foothill reserves. We chatted about some topics of mutual interest, restoration monitoring, invasive plant species, quantifying ecosystem services, as well as some other topics. And something that we really kept coming back to was understanding anthropogenic disturbance or human disturbance to these natural areas around the trail systems as a result of heavy trail use, and using that understanding to guide management decisions and restoration treatments. And so when I began teaching a restoration planning and disturbance ecology class in the fall of 2021, it seemed like a great avenue for us to explore that mutual interest. And Martha actually had 500 sagebrush and bitterbrush seedlings to plant.
Oh.
And so she invited us to engage with that restoration treatment.
And so Martha, why did you want more sagebrush and bitterbrush in the area? Because what do the plants do for the landscape for folks who may not be too familiar?
So the sagebrush steppe ecosystem used to be co-dominated by perennial bunch grasses as well as shrubs like sagebrush and bitterbrush. When you look out into the foothills today, particularly lower Boise foothills, you'll see that it looks like a lot of grasses, like a grassland monoculture. And Military Reserve is no exception. There's actually a history of grazing in Military Reserve. So that area is covered in a grass called intermediate wheatgrass. And so it looks like a really nice prairie style field. However, that is not what the ecosystem is supposed to have. So that type of grassland ecosystem does not help wildlife habitat. It does not facilitate natural ecosystem processes. And so the point of planting more sagebrush was to A, facilitate more wildlife habitat, and B, get some of the structural functional plants that are supposed to be in the landscape back. There's not a lot of shrub out there. We wanted to put more shrubs back.
And Megan, you and your students, if I understand this correctly, you used a special mapping software so you could figure out where to put each of these plants. And so I am assuming once you took that map out and you planted the 500 seedlings, that this took a little bit of time?
That is absolutely true. I mean, generating that plan itself took a little bit of time. As you mentioned, we used this mapping spatial analysis software called QGIS. And so one of the learning objectives for the class was for everyone to walk away with sort of a basic proficiency in that mapping software and working with spatial data. And often you have this idea about how things are going to go when you're in the lab. And so we wanted to work with Martha in part because she, is a knowledgeable practitioner. And so we could work iteratively with her to understand how what we were doing in the lab might translate into the field or might not. And so that planning process took a while, working iteratively. That was wonderful. And then actually planting the seedlings took a while too. The soil out there doesn't give way very easily. And so we're using these very heavy metal rods to kind of penetrate the soil and dig the hole to plant the seedlings. And we were really struggling, honestly. It was a breeze for Martha because she's so used to it, but it was a good experience.
And Megan, I mean, this really is an experiment. So you're hoping to find out what works and what doesn't in terms of these seedlings?
Absolutely. So we generated the spatial plan using experimental design, meaning that we could plant the seedlings in a way that would allow us to later evaluate seedling survival and trail widening as a function of a variety of factors of interest, such as distance to the trail, what's the trail use type, terrain variables like slope and aspect. And so we will then go back out in March and monitor for seedling survival and monitor for trail widening so that we can actually do an analysis to determine which of those factors will influence survival in the future. And this falls under the umbrella of adaptive management, meaning in doing this restoration, we're contributing to the natural ecosystem while learning about the system at the same time so that the information from that analysis can inform future restoration efforts on the landscape.
And Martha, how important in your mind is this experiment as well as the results for what it could do for the foothills?
It's critical. Utilizing science to guide management decisions is the only way forward in my perspective. Restoration treatments have largely failed in not only in the lower Boise foothills, but in the Great Basin Desert in general. And so Megan discussed adaptive management, and that's how I want to be managing our lower Boise foothills, utilizing science and utilizing those findings to create a decision-making matrix that helps us put landscape treatments out there that will actually work. Trail widening is a major management issue for the city of Boise. Many of the trails within the trail system were built at 36 inches wide. Two Point Trail was built at 48 inches wide to try and accommodate users who wanted to walk side by side. However, as you know, as the trails gets muddy, people often walk around the sides of the mud pools and they trample the vegetation on either side of the trail. And so understanding how far to plant a restoration planting so that it would survive is really, really important moving forward. We want to have plants and shrubs in the landscape that will reduce erosion and as well as guide trail users to stay on the trail. And so that's a lot of what I'm hoping to learn from the experiment that Megan designed.
So I know Megan mentioned that she and her class will go out in March to find out how the project has worked. But Martha, you have a bit of a spoiler alert for us because you've been walking both of these trails. But the spoiler, if I have this right, includes dogs and coconuts.
So we found, we live in a desert ecosystem and we found that putting mulch treatments around seedlings helps them survive. Why? Because mulch retains moisture in the soil. It also suppresses weeds. However, I was unable, the two-point trail, the pedestrian only trail is 1.2 miles, and I was unable to carry mulch to all the seedlings that received that treatment along that trail. And so what I utilized is coconut core, C-O-I-R matting, which is a circle made out of 100% coconut core fibers. It does the same thing as mulch. It helps retain soil moisture. It also suppresses weeds. So I put coconut core matting around a percentage of seedlings. And from an observational standpoint, we don't have data to guide this yet. I have observed that those coconut core mats have been just ripped apart, completely masticated by what I would assume to be dogs. Because on the downhill trail only, the bucktail trail, there's been zero disturbance to those coconut core mats. And, you know, like I said, this is observational, so I can't know for certain until Megan does the actual monitoring, but it sure looks like dogs love to chew on coconut fiber matting.
Well, now we know something new. So before I let you, before I let you go, what's next, Megan and Martha?
Yeah, so as next steps sort of practically are go to monitor the seedlings that we planted for survival. We'll go out to plant, we'll go out on foot to check them, see which ones lived, which ones didn't. We're also going to be flying unoccupied aerial systems, UAS or drones, to see if we can detect seedling survival and trail widening in that imagery, simply because it's labor intensive to check on foot. So being able to do so with the UAS would mean we could monitor over a larger area and or that a lot of the time and resources spent monitoring on foot could be spent on other critical tasks. So moving forward, we hope to continue this collaboration, continue to restore these landscapes and learn about them together.
I hope that, you know, we'll learn that if a restoration planting is installed 7 feet away from the trail, that it will survive and, you know, help do what we put it on the landscape to do. Whereas a restoration planting that's only 5 feet from the trail may succumb to some of the pressures of the trail use that's happening out there.
Well, I'm so glad that you are doing this project and we'll find out what it does for our trail system that I think so many of us just love so much. and we want it to flourish and continue. So thank you both for the work that you do.
Thank you for the opportunity to talk about it.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. We've been talking with Megan Catu, who teaches human environment systems at Boise State University, along with Martha Brabeck, a Foothills Restoration Specialist for the City of Boise. We've been talking about a sagebrush planting project near the Boise Foothills. We'll have more Idaho Matters next.